Sports Drive, Dave, Katie, and Nate. It is 8:03, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th through the 22nd. Sam Amick in just a couple of minutes here from USA Today. And at 8:30, you and us, that's not proper English, are going to make our picks for this weekend's NFL games.
Okay, so you were just talking about things we do to make our boss mad.
Yeah.
It's about to get worse because I'm about to do something. I very rarely, right before we get to Sam, who is waiting for us on the phone, I very rarely look myself up. But I wanted to check out what my bio on our KHDK website said.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about a blog idea for today. And I'm glad I looked at it because not only do they have my bio completely wrong, but they misspell my name multiple times within the bio.
Really?
Yeah. Kate is the co-host of The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Mm-hmm.
She's a former WNBA player for 5 years, which is not right. Kate is also a sideline reporter for the Sacramento Kings.
How many years was it, Katie?
It was six. Well, I got paid for seven.
Well,
so how many?
That
you knew it wasn't going to be a smaller number.
Right? Yeah.
No.
No.
Well, it's like well it, I would even if it said 10 years, I would
you
correct
said only
it.
Five?
No, I would correct it. But can we not even get my name spelled right?
No.
Like, what is going on with that?
Guess whose fault that is?
Yeah,
it's probably Sam.
I'm going to tell you a little something that my dad used to tell me. You want the two word answer or the three word answer, Katie?
I don't know that I want either.
The two-word answer is screw you. The three-word answer is do it yourself.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Also, maybe tell your parents not to be so stupid and spell your name weird.
I just don't understand why you can spell it right for like half of it and wrong for half of it.
Well, you know,
jeez.
Everybody knows the next guy joining us, Sam Amick, spelled S-A-Y-U-M, writes for USA Today.
Sam.
Sports Corduroy does not care. And I beg to differ with the allegation that he has a dad bod. Sam and I have the same bod. It's called just an awesome bod.
Hmm.
Hi, Sam.
Ooh-wee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm glad you're getting a lot of sympathy on this panel, aren't you here?
You know what? I don't like either one of these two D-bags, okay? Let's just be clear about that, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
I'll say this much.
Yes.
I'll say this much. Make sure you get the bio right eventually, Katie. I did an interview the other day, and the guy who had me on, he like pulled out my bio from the old Sacramento Bee days.
Mm-hmm.
There was some kind of a little bit unflattering stuff on there. So the internet never dies. Make sure you get it right.
Right.
And it won't come back to haunt you.
Well, you know, in case you didn't know, Sam Amick came to USA Today in 2012 after 3 years as an NBA insider at SportsIllustrated.com and AOL Fan House. He once split his forehead open on a failed dunk attempt, but later found more success. Is that true?
Attaboy.
I've never read that before.
That's awesome. See, this is the second time in the week I'm having this discussion, and now I'm regretting my USA Today bio. Here's the funny part about that, and funny is in quotations probably, is I might have left out the part that it was a lowered rim. Uh-huh. Like that should, and then it also makes it sound like I hit my head on the rim. And the real story is less flattering. You know, it's not a great idea to play pickup ball with the garage door open.
Yeah.
When you jump and your head just goes straight into those metal spikes that are under the garage door. So that's the real story. And then I proceeded to drive myself to the hospital with blood like dripping down my face. It was
You're
great.
A trooper.
Atta, babe. You know what?
That's tough.
It's an attractive picture, though.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, real quick. So
you can't see the dad bod.
No, you cannot. Yeah, it's neck up. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, Sam, because I know you're versatile. You are in the Sacramento Kings locker room, and James Hamm just asked DeMarcus Cousins about his extension. DeMarcus says, "Well, you know, I want to be here. Do you want me to be here?" Grabs the mic, which, by the way, that was Katie Christensen's mic. He grabbed
it's Kate Christensen,
and he points the microphone at you, Sam, and says, "I don't know, Sam, do you want me to be here? What do you do?"
I had this conversation last night, leaving the Warriors game very late with Comcast Monty Poole, a colleague of Kate's. And I told Monty, I said, I would have been the nerd in the room who just says, "Well, what's coming back?"
Nice.
I mean, it drives me, and I'm kidding, but I'm kind of not. Like, it does kind of bug me. Whether it's DeMarcus or some other player, in media and fandom, we wind up having these conversations like, should they move that guy? Should they not? And I felt like the way that interaction went the other night, it had like a tinge of, like, it felt personal, right? Like,
yes.
Do you want me here? Do you want me here? And, I mean, the reality is it's like the Kings have got to see what's on the table. And if LeBron James is coming back their way, then they probably do it.
Sam, one of the things that is coming out in what could potentially be this extension or this new deal for DeMarcus is the fact that he is requesting a no trade clause. Now, that's just something that doesn't really happen much in the NBA, or at least not to my recollection. Is it fairly uncommon, or do we see it in the NBA? Are you aware of it?
I mean, Kobe had one.
Didn't Garnett have one?
Yeah, I think Melo has one.
Yeah, he does. He does have one.
Yeah, so it's an extremely short list. It doesn't, I think, go any farther than that. Like you said, Garnett, there are certain players based on the rules of the CBA that find themselves in situations where they have to approve a trade, but that's not a case of them being superstars.
Right.
That's like a guy gets traded to one team, and then for the next 12 months, he has the ability to veto any deal. So, no, I mean, that's rarefied air. I'd be shocked if he got that from the Kings. They just simply, given not only their lack of success and their need to remain flexible, but, his history as being a guy who can be certainly frustrated at different times. I don't know why in a million years they would grant that, but we shall see what happens.
Okay, so I mean, let's say for a second that they do grant it, and I want you to make sure I have this all right, because my understanding of it is that a no trade clause can't be added on as an extension; it has to be part of a new contract. Is that correct?
You're probably correct,
okay.
Dave, but admittedly, I'm still in the process of doing my crash course on the new CBA. So,
oh, okay. Well, because that's where we are too, and I'm sorry, Sam, because what I was wondering is how they're going to pull that off, but if. You know, you're in the same boat.
The answer is, let's all call Larry Kuhn.
Right.
Larry will know.
I got his number. We can patch him in. Yeah, I mean, that I haven't dived that deep on it. To me, admittedly, it was one of these stories that, even though it sounds like there's been some serious discussions already, obviously this cannot happen until the off season. So at this point, to an extent, it's not conjecture. That's too strong, but it's these are informal talks, and you still have a season to play, and who knows how the team plays, and who knows what different goings on may take place. So that's a few months away, but it's I'll be honest that even the discussion of a no trade clause, I find that it makes an already interesting situation even more fascinating, in my opinion, because I do kind of understand the Kings' desire to lock him up on a deal like that. But there's, the other side of me that says that they are going to be pretty seriously compromised because of it. And then the idea of throwing a no-trade clause on top of that is just a whole nother level.
Sam Amick joining us on KHTK. Sam, just to pop up on that too. I mean, I'd heard that it was no-trade clause in there plus a four-year opt-out. The four-year opt-out, not necessarily that uncommon, especially at that level. But from a national perspective, you've heard Chris Mannix said, I believe it was on his podcast, that Vivek is pushing for this and the front office is still open to trading him. You have the national perspective of, I think, a lot of writers and media folk that are a little surprised that DeMarcus would re-sign with this team after all the speculation throughout the last, years. Do you hear the same thing? Is there surprise nationally?
Yeah, for sure. I was, I'm obviously closer to it than most national guys not named Scott Howard Cooper or Mark Spears. But, so when I would hear people say flat out, DeMarcus is not going to resign, I was in that camp of people who would say, no, you should listen to him talk about the city. He actually really seems to like being here. But, like, with a capital B, it's like I'm perplexed by the whole thing. We haven't seen this kind of money, obviously, unprecedented cash coming the player's way. And far be it from me to even pretend to be able to relate to the idea of having, like, choice A, be $40 million or whatever the difference is, bigger than choice B. But I do feel like it's a fair conversation, like, what am I trying to say here? I don't love the idea that it went from him and his people saying, hey, show me that you're going to build a winner, that you guys as an organization have figured things mm-hmm. out, and then maybe I'll resign, to, holy crap, what kind of money are you talking about? Like, yeah, I'm all in. Like, that sounds good. You know, that, and the idea of players wanting to win, that's where my surprise comes in. Not that he would sign it, and not that he's leaning heavily towards doing that, but that, you know, that it wouldn't be a bigger factor, that the team, you know, sure, they're sniffing the eighth spot, but there's literally nothing factually different about this season than there has been about any other, if that makes sense. So it's a little bit like the fan part of me in general is it's a little disheartening that the money reaches a point for any of these guys where they stop caring about winning, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, Sam, to be fair, I think what makes this situation fascinating is that DeMarcus has always said, put people around me, I want to win. And he has always said, I don't want to leave. I don't really know if I believe that the money has a lot to do with it right now. And people are so overwhelmed with what the paycheck is and the payday for these guys. But we keep trying to tell people, quit paying attention to the dollar amount and look more at the percentage of salary cap that it's taking up, because the TV money has changed things so much. So in that sense, is it fair to say that the money is so much that it's not the winning anymore, because the two things have always been the same? I don't want to leave, and I want a good team around me because I want to win.
I know, but that last part, this is the part of me that is focusing on the organization and previous management, current management, all the above. That's fine. I want to win. But if I say I want to write sports articles and I don't work for a sports article organization, so to speak, then that's not, I mean, they have not shown an ability to put talent around him. And there's, you know, we've had this debate. That's not the debate I'm trying to have right now. But there are 29 other teams who would have varying levels of interest in him. That's all I'm saying. I'm just expressing surprise. It's not even judgment. It's just surprise, because typically, a couple situations that come to mind are both in Minnesota. When Kevin Love couldn't get to the playoffs with the Timberwolves, he started looking for the exits, did not have faith in David Kahn, their GM, or in Glenn Taylor, their owner, and they knew Kevin was going to bounce, so they trade him. Kevin Garnett, another Minnesota situation. Historically, and Carmelo Anthony is like a different level of it. Even though they had success and they got to the second round of the playoffs, he didn't trust the Nuggets enough anymore, and he wanted to bounce. Typically, when you have, you know, evidence like the Kings do of failure, sustained failure, the player reaches a point where they just want to try something new. So, I hear you on the fact that he wants to win. I'm just not quite sure what makes him think that it will change.
Sam Amick at USA Today joining us on The Drive. Sam, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. The news come out that the referees union is going after Mark Cuban, saying he's been trying to influence games and gain a competitive advantage by, you know, intimidating them and stuff like that, basically being a jerk on the sidelines, typical Mark Cuban stuff. My question is, why has it gotten to this point to where the union needs to make a complaint to the league? Why can't they just tee him up? Why haven't they been able to deal that on a game-by-game basis?
It was interesting stuff. It's a lot of acrimony between the league and the referees association right now and the referee community. And we're seeing it now front and center publicly, which from a media standpoint, I always love stories like this because, you know, there was a statement from the referees union lawyer, and it was almost like, well, since this got out, I may as well speak up. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they had nothing to do with it getting out. You know, they're trying to apply pressure to the NBA because they feel taken advantage of. They feel, that they feel taken for granted. And it's everything from the last two-minute reports to the general culture of the way things are going right now. I think that every official that you talk to behind closed doors expresses like an unprecedented level of frustration with everything from the scrutiny. The thing fans don't quite understand, and I wish we could do a better job of portraying in the media, but access is a major problem. It's like these guys, you know, I've got the screws turned on them every single night. Internal grading, internal fines that we never hear about. There's a lot that happens that is not on our radar, and that, yes, they make extremely good livings, but they're not making player money or anything close to it. So anyway, that's the environment right now, and that's the culture. And I think that when you see it going public like this, that's just indicative of the fact that communication is broken down so much between the Referees Association and the league. They feel like they got to do something a little more jarring, like go through the media.
Sam Amick joining us on KHDK from the USA Today. Your article
so
today.
So good you say it twice, Dave.
I did. Well, I wanted to make a rhyme. You know, I didn't have anything to rhyme with that. You wrote an article on the Cavs and what they're going through right now. And the good point, which is, does it really matter right now? LeBron's coming back to Sacramento today. He put out a video last night talking about how special it is for him. This was his first NBA game, and you remember the Nike commercial, Sam. I know you're old enough like me to remember that. He gets on the floor, does his thing. What is going on with the Cavs? Is it Kyle Korver? Is it just general malaise that we saw back with the Lakers, you know, with Shaq and Kobe and that type of thing, putting the foot on the pedal? What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to gauge. You know, we got to analyze, even though it's mid-January. So it's one of those columns where you wonder how it's going to look when you look back on it 5 months from now. You know, it probably won't matter. But, I mean, the Korver thing is just a guy who's played for a long, long time in Atlanta trying to get comfortable. He's got to learn the system. One of their subplots right now is because of weather, because of injuries and different illnesses that have gone on with the team. They have not practiced since December 28th. And no team gets a lot of practice during the regular season, but that's a little bit extreme to go 2 weeks without any practice time. And they're going to practice on Sunday, and that's after getting 2 full days off. So they're going to be rested and, you know, better on the practice front for that game against the Warriors. Beyond that, I don't know what to make of it because their average mediocre defense has been one of the subplots all season long. But in this recent stretch, where they lost 3 out of 5, it was the other way around. The offense failed pretty significantly. I think it was around 89 points a game after averaging about 109. I mean, they just fell off a cliff offensively. So, you know, none of that is not only going to matter if they win the title in June, but even as close as, like, if they come out and get the job done Monday, then we'll forget about that. But I'll be honest, I'm, you know, for regular season games, guys, I'm fired up for Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I talked to Klay Thompson the other day, and he threw some gasoline on the fire and had a few things to say about the Cavs and some of the different off-court shenanigans that have gone on between these two teams.
Like, and the Halloween party and stuff like that?
Yeah, like if anybody – as a media guy, you got – you know, you enjoy having stuff to write about, and this stuff writes itself. Like, if anybody missed it, Halloween, LeBron James has a party. They literally make cookies that say, rest in peace, Steph Curry, 2015-16. Rest in peace, Klay Thompson. They had a Steph Curry, like, stuffed doll that you had to step over as you walked into the house. And then not only did they do that, but they decided to share it on social media.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Klay called it childish, and he was, you know, he had a pretty strong line where he says, well, you know, the only way you take care of that is to beat them down. So it's like, all right, you know, ding, 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 here we go. So it should be fun.
Well, to me, one of the things with the Cavs right now is it hasn't even been a year since Tyronn Lue has taken over as head coach. January 22nd of 2016 was when he took over officially. Obviously wins a title in his first season with them. But I still haven't quite figured out how much of this is the Tyronn Lue effect and how much of it is just the fact that any coach with LeBron James on their roster is going, the odds are much more in their favor. How much do you feel that he has impacted this team as a coach?
I like the job he's done. I mean, I feel like the first two things that come to mind are chemistry and the culture. And I mean, I was around the Cavs last year and the year before when they would come on their West Coast trip. I would kind of make a point to maybe meet him in Phoenix and go to a couple different spots just because I don't get to see him that often. And I can tell you the vibe, like I thought David Blatt was a nice enough guy, or shouldn't say is a nice enough guy, the former Cavs coach and fine to deal with in the media and whatnot. But my goodness, it was so uncomfortable between Blatt and his team. And you could be around the team for one day and start to sniff the idea that these players – we're looking at them sideways, and it was not a good environment. And I don't know if that's just a matter of personality, if that's LeBron's influence, because, you know, he wanted somebody like Ty Lue in there, or like a Mark Jackson, who he was pushing for a long time. But the contrast, culture-wise, chemistry-wise, I think is very positive. Ty Lue's got a great way about him. He is not, by all accounts, he's not afraid to go at LeBron, and he does that in practice. And there was a great story that Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated wrote a couple months ago, talking about how in Game 7 at Oracle Arena in the finals, they go into halftime, and Ty just looks LeBron in the eyes like, man, what are you doing? We need more out of you. And just laid into him at a key, you know, a crucial moment for their team. So that, I think, is important. And then you look at Kevin Love, too, and I don't know how much credit Ty deserves for this, but David Black couldn't find a way to get a better version of Kevin Love, and they're getting that right now. Now, I don't know if that's just the pressure being off because they won a title or what the reasons are, but, you know, he's gotten more out of Kevin, so I think Ty's done a good job.
Sam, we always appreciate it. You read Sam at USA Today. Follow him along at Twitter, and we'll see you very, very soon, big boy.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right.
Have a good one, Sam.
take care. Sam Amick. That's Sam Amick that joins
big
us. Big boy. Big boy, Sam Amick. We'll take a break. Before we do, though, as promised, and I don't know if anybody was clamoring, but I promised it, damn it. This contest last night where we had people make songs, we had two winners, and we played the one winner, which was a family of four doing a little skit and a sing-along for the tickets. This is Denzel Joyce. That's his name on Twitter. His name on Twitter actually is at @young_Zell, Z-E-L. And here was his video that we asked people to make to send to Marcus to the All-Star game. And this was his to win three tickets. God, I thought there were two rules on this show: no wrestling music, and don't play this because Katie goes into a big blob of weird dancing. And
a lot of men would like to see me dancing to this song, Dave.
Unconfirmed. 8:34 time to get ready for the. Oh, it's probably confirmed. International Sportsman's Expo coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th through the 22nd. Big weekend coming up of NFL football. We're going to pick games with you in just a second. Want to let you know the lowdown coming up at noon to 3. Normally, this is old Kenny Rudolph spot. Ken's got Stormwatch and all kinds of crazy stuff going on, so I want to throw this out there. Drew Davidson, beat writer for the Dallas Cowboys, is going to be on at 12:45 with them, and Finesse Mitchell, the comedian in studio at 2 p.m. That is the lowdown from noon to 3.
That's a name,
what?
Man. Finesse.
Finesse Mitchell.
Finesse.
That was my nickname in high school. People saw me playing basketball.
Yeah.
All right. We got
Hot Mess.
We got okay, you know what? I'll give her that. We got some music. Let's do it. Let's pick these games.
Games. What are we starting with?
Well, let's start with this one. That is Seahawks, Falcons leading in this weekend, 1:35 our time in Atlanta. Nate. Just going to go out of order here, just for the hell of it.
Uh-oh.
Start with you, Seahawks, Falcons. The Falcons are 4.5-point favorites.
Yeah, and this line seems to be kind of going up, depending on where you find it, too. People becoming more and more confident in the Falcons. I've flip-flopped on the Seahawks. I know that I've been riding that train for weeks and weeks and weeks now. But I'm really, really not confident in them without Earl Thomas being able to stop that team. I mean, they barely were able to—they had to cheat to win the game in Seattle, and they had Earl Thomas. I think it comes to an end this weekend for Seattle.
Is it just me, or does Matt Ryan look a little bit like Woody from Toy Story?
Well, apparently, according to you, he looks like Earl Thomas.
That's from earlier, Dave, well, and I admitted that I wasn't listening to Nate.
Now, you know, they commissioned a study not too long ago that said that Matt Ryan is, like, technically speaking, like the best-looking man in football because his face is so symmetrical.
Oh,
that was like his rookie year or something, so it was a long time ago.
Yeah, he looks like Woody from Toy Story to me. But I'm actually going to take the Falcons in this one, too, because the Seahawks, as good as they've been in the playoffs, I don't think they've had a great season, and I don't think that that's going to bode well for them. I only think you can get so lucky, and I believe that the Falcons are ready to go, and they haven't been taken seriously, and I think they're going to try and send a message.
I don't believe in the Falcons. Sorry. It's Atlanta, and it's the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But in my lifetime, Atlanta has never done anything that's really impressed me, save for maybe one year. And this is
Do you think the wide receiver core is a huge advantage for them, though? I mean, over Seattle?
I do, but I think that one of their receivers is going to be completely taken out of the game, although the Seahawks, funny enough, have just set a franchise record without having an interception for five straight games. Here's the bottom line. Richard Sherman is as close to a shutdown corner as there is in the NFL. When you put him on the right side, they don't even throw there. So whomever their receivers are, whether it's Jones, and I imagine they'll line him up on the left, and I don't know if Pete Carroll is going to have Sherman follow him over there or not, but he's going to shut down one of their receivers. I think that defense is going to get to Matt Ryan, and I do not think that Atlanta Falcons defense themselves is going to be able to slow down Russell Wilson and Thomas Rawls and maybe C.J. Procise if he gets in there. Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough game. And I'm certainly not guaranteeing Seattle will win, but if I had a gun to my head, I think it's the Seahawks. I think it's the Seahawks. Now, this is going to be the tough one, guys. I want to remind you, the Seahawks-Falcons game, we said it was at 1:35, of course, right here on Sports 1140 KHK, which has all your NFL coverage. It's very simple. Both Saturday and Sunday, you might as well just put it on KHDK. And as they said in the old days, throw away the dial, even though there's no more dials anymore. But we've got all your NFL coverage, including the Texans and Patriots at 5:15. I'll start with this one because it's the toughest one, guys, and I'll take the load. I see the Patriots pulling this one out. Say never. It's any given Sunday, bleedy blah blue. They beat them 27-0 at Foxborough without Tom Brady.
Third-string quarterback.
They now have, Jacoby Brissett. They now have Tom Brady. They now have a ton of momentum. And you have a dome team now in the wintertime playing at Foxborough in that environment where it's going to be in the low 20s. It would be one of the biggest playoff upsets in NFL history, and I'm not confident enough to call it. I don't see how the Houston Texans possibly win this ball game. Maybe they get a pick six. Maybe the defense steps up, but I still think the Patriots are too good. I have them winning by at least two touchdowns.
I don't think it's ever a good situation for a team in the playoffs, no matter who you are facing the Patriots, and you're having an issue at quarterback. I don't know. It's between Tom Savage and Brock Osweiler. Those are your two options. Neither one of them is an option. And then you add in the fact that they're facing the Patriots in New England. Come on now. This is an easy one.
Get serious, you guys. We got real games to pick. It's New England.
All right.
Get serious.
Do the best to do it, Mitch Holtz. And that was Bill Hillgrove before that on the Chiefs and Steelers radio networks, respectively. And that is the matchup this weekend at Arrowhead, where it's expected to be cold.
Cold.
Very, very cold. Steelers and Chiefs. Katie, take the lead here. How's this game turn out?
I can't not choose the Steelers, but having said that, I feel really bad in terms of the fact that I don't believe that the Chiefs have gotten the credit that they deserve throughout the entire season. But you know it's something when during the middle of that stretch when the Steelers were not playing well, like 5-6 weeks ago, they were still a top five favorite team to make the Super Bowl. That is how good the Steelers team is. They finally have some momentum. They're playing well as of late. I think it's going to be very tough for Kansas City to pull this out.
Yeah, Steelers are going to strike first blood. Antonio Brown's going to come up with a big play and punch the Chiefs in the mouth right out of the gate, and they're not going to know what to do about it. One's all Pittsburgh.
Falcons and Chiefs, two of the three teams that just are getting no respect,
credit.
And I understand that to a point. I think Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown go in there, punch them in the mouth a little bit. I think the Chiefs are one and done.
Cowboys, Packers, radio network, so on and so forth. Hey, those are the two teams that are playing. Dallas is favored. I got to say, I'm going to go with Dallas in this one. Jordy Nelson has been ruled out officially. See you later, Packers. It was a good run.
I think that's a big deal. And although the Green Bay Packers have shown they can score without Jordy Nelson, also the Green Bay Packers have been giving up a ton of yards before contact. And one of the best in the league to do that is Ezekiel Elliott. They've been doing that over the last few games, even though they've been on this winning streak. I'm changing my mind. I've been going Pack all week. But with the Jordy Nelson news, on top of everything else, a huge home atmosphere. I hate betting on the Cowboys in the playoffs, and earlier today I was going to do that. I'm going to switch. I'm going to go with the Cowboys in the squeaker.
Well, I'm going to be the outlier here because I don't
Shocker!
Think, I know, but this is the same thing like when last week when the Packers took on the Giants. I don't like people that played for teams that won't give credit to other teams are going to pick the team they played for regardless. So I'm just saying here, Jordy Nelson, it's a big hit that he's out. Absolutely.
Yes.
But when you think about how well Devontae Adams has played this year, Randall Cobb is playing well as of late, and then the fact that Aaron Rodgers gets like 10 seconds in the pocket to make his decision. I think that he is going to destroy this team.
When we get back in 3 minutes, you're not going to believe what Bo Jackson said about football and him playing or not playing football. We'll tell you what that was next as we wrap up the drive for the weekend right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Ha!
I can't even mention it. You play Atlanta Miles and you flip out. I mentioned wrestling and Ding Dong McGillicuddy behind the glass.
Well, we abandoned the whole creepy music thing.
Yeah, like Friday
after about
the 13th.
One segment. The one segment.
Can we at least finish with that?
Because I used all of it in that one segment.
That was at 6 a.m., though. You're still listening. God bless you. And speaking of loyal listeners, listener Kevin Haley tweeted during the break, "Hey, guys, number of losses for Andy Reid after a bye week in his career equals zero."
That's true.
So, I mean, that's actually exactly what I tweeted back. This is true. Hey, I want to remind you guys, somebody just won Harlem Globetrotters tickets during the break. Nice. You can text the secret word again at 1140 today at 44-1140, and you could, again, win a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters happening January 16th at the Golden One Center. For more info, khtk.com, and you'll also have a chance to win at 140 and at 340 with Grant and Doug. Also want to remind you guys, too, today is the final day in a five-part series we put out from the bowling tournament last weekend. Yesterday was Omri Caspi. We've had DeMarcus Cousins, Dave Yeager, actually a four-part series. Yesterday was Omri Caspi. And then today we'll put out Darren Collison. Omri was interesting for many reasons, but yesterday, if you haven't had a chance to look it up at khdk.com, we got into it a little bit towards the end of the interview about the frustrations he's had this year, but one of the reasons he's able to keep such a clear head is stuff like having served in the Israeli army and dealing with the conflict going on back home. And whenever Omri gets loose about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and what the horrors he's seen, it kind of puts it all in perspective when it's like, well, you didn't get any playing time last night. He cares.
Mandatory 1 year of service in the Army.
He's been through some stuff. So there's that. And then Darren Collison, one thing I picked out of that, and we had Darren on earlier, was when I asked him on this interview about the trade rumors, Paul Millsap and all that stuff. And how, you know, you want to get better, so that's exciting. But you're also dealing with the potential leaving of a teammate. And he got kind of real quiet. And he said, hey, you know what? You know, you've got kids, you got a wife. Imagine you come home and one of your kids got traded to another team. And I said this earlier, Nate, you had the perfect response, which is like, well, what are we getting back? But he said, you know, you go out and you sweat and you bleed with these guys, and you talk about your families, you go on the road, you live with them for months or years, and then when they leave, you know, everyone always talks about the player that comes. Nobody talks about the player that leaves. So a little bit of insight. And Katie, you have a blog is that coming out today or is that coming out next week, the one with the picture?
Oh, I was going to do it for today.
For today. And and Katie doesn't like, well, Katie doesn't like pretty much everything, but she doesn't like her bio, which she talked about earlier. And
my bio, but my
your picture.
The picture for my blogs. But like it's the headshot they took here in the studio. And there's nothing worse than like standing in front of a camera and like fake smiling. I think it's a really bad representation of like personality because it's one of those like painful, like, I don't want to smile right now.
But weren't you already bitching about your bio and how they misspelled a bunch of stuff, is what
they
I'm saying.
They misspelled my
name.
I know.
I'm just saying, you've been throwing the sales staff who works very hard to try to make your life better under the bus all day, and I think you owe them an apology.
Okay, no, I'm not apologizing for the fact that half of the time you got my name right and half of it you didn't.
These are hardworking people with families. They're just doing the best they can.
Maybe you ought to go get to know some people, Miss High Horse,
over
there.
They have to make appointments to talk to you.
Nathaniel, how much do you like that?
What, Nathaniel?
Yeah.
That's your response is to insult Nate?
It's like when it's your
good
name.
Good one, Katie.
When it's your name and your employers or your your fellow coworkers are getting it wrong, you do take a little bit of offense to it.
Again, maybe blame the parents for spelling your name all weirdly.
Oh,
I mean, it's K-A-T-I-E.
No, it's not.
That's how you spell Katie.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I like legitimately hate your face right now.
Listen, and I love you, and I'm saying this as
I legitimately hate your
as
face.
As your best friend, I'm going to say, let's
that's
go.
That's coming into question, actually.
I'm going to use Google here. Famous Katies of the world spelled with a Y. Go. Number one, Katie Christensen.
Is that actually on the list?
It's number one. I'm on Google. I just put Katie, K-A-Y-T-E in there.
Oh.
Number one is Katie Christensen.
The only other person I know that has the same spelling is the chick that married Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, Katie Walsh.
Yes.
Which is weird because you, if you had your choice, would have married Kelsey Grammer years ago.
That's not true.
You're a giant.
Just because I like Frasier doesn't mean I'm attracted to Kelsey Grammer.
Bo Jackson said in a wide-ranging interview with USA Today Sports, if now I'm thinking about what Kelsey Grammer and Katie's kids would look like. seeing like a lot of bald girls. He said, quote,
at least he'd have met a fair fight.
If I knew back. Bo Jackson said, if I knew back then what I know now, I would have never played football. Never. I wish I had known about all this head injuries, but no one knew that. And the people that did know that, they wouldn't tell anybody. The game has gotten so violent, so rough. We're much more educated about CTE. I should do the direct quote. We're much more educated on the CTE stuff. There's no way I would ever allow my kids to play football today. Even though I love the sport, I'd smack them in the mouth if they said they wanted to play football.
It's kind of counterproductive if that's why you don't want to play football.
I tell them, right? Yeah. Wait,
but you know what? We give him a pass because he's had so many concussions. Oh, he doesn't know what he's saying.
Bo knows. He said, I'd tell them play baseball, basketball, soccer, golf, just anything but football. Asked if he regretted that his career on the gridiron and that was cut so short. Jackson said, quote, I wouldn't change a thing. I have no regrets. That's some strong words from him.
But we've gotten to a point where, like, none of that is even really speculative. Like, other than him saying, I wouldn't let my kids play. What's bizarre is that he's not getting any new information out. The people that knew weren't telling us, like, all this stuff. It's not shocking, but what's kind of strange to me is I think people have this image in their head of former football players that speak up against stuff like that, generally being fringe type of guys. And for it to take a Bo Jackson to step up and say, dude, these guys were right. I shouldn't have done that. I think people are going to listen. I don't know what that means ultimately.
I completely agree with you.
It's not like we're going to see players retire tomorrow because of what Bo Jackson said.
Before we go.
Don't rule it out, Patrick Bowman. They're both, sorry.
Yeah. Before we go, you have to hear this. It's Joel Embiid, who I heart so much. And here he is.
Man crush.
Talking about what he was doing at 6 years old. When he was 6 years old, he had to go into the jungle and kill a lion. I don't even know what to throw on top of that.
What? Was it hand-to-hand combat?
I don't know. I have no information on that, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I had to mow the lawn to prove I was a man to my dad when I was 14.
When you were 14.
There was a lot of lawn.
And
it was
that
a
hasn't
mower.
Worked out well for you.
No, yeah, I didn't have to kill a lion. Are you kidding me? Tom Brady looking at Houston this weekend, and he's got some harsh words for them. I didn't want to play the rest of the quote.
Jeez. That's just a lie. You're a liar, Tom Brady.
It's the hardest team we've faced all season, the Houston Texans.
So is that like a backhanded like compliment to them in the sense that it's like everybody knows that's not the truth? Or is that saying, yeah, they're the best team we played all year and we beat them 27-0 and that's just how dominant we are?
Yeah, no, I think he was going the former, not the latter. Yeah, finally, whatever. We haven't mentioned it all day, but it bears mentioning, even though golf is not top of mind and certainly January golf isn't top of mind. Justin Thomas shot a 59 yesterday.
Yowzers!
That's a big freaking deal, even though it was a par 70. Here's what he had to say. Coming up this weekend, I will not shoot anything close to a 59 unless it's
on the front
nine, which I've done many times before. For Kevin Sheretz and Matt George, Nate Goodyear, and Katie Christensen. Katie with
Thanks
a
work,
Y.
Everybody.
Hey, well done this week, guys. We'll see you on Monday at 6 a.m. Have a fun week of football, and you can listen to it all right here on KHTK. I know nothing from glasses over here.
I hate your face.
That's it. Jim Rome is next. Lowdown after Sports 1140 KHTK.